Thank you all for coming. For those of you who are not familiar with the term foul tip impact, this is when a pitch is redirected off the hitter's bat and hits the catcher in the mask. So I've been playing baseball for 15 years now, and in 2015, I had an opportunity to pitch in Australia. In my first game, I threw a pitch that was redirected by the hitter's bat and hit my catcher in the mask. We didn't think anything of it at the time because it's always been something that's been part of baseball for us. The next day, my catcher, who was also my roommate, woke up complaining of concussion symptoms. And Chet had four prior concussions leading up to this one. I began to wonder if catchers were hitting the head often. So as the season continued, I started noticing instances of foul tip impacts causing concussions, and in more extreme examples, catchers attempting to play through these impacts only to be later removed for fear of passing out or a subsequent impact leading to feelings of nausea and vomiting. When I investigated the literature, I found that catchers are significantly overrepresented by diagnosed concussions as compared to the other eight positions in baseball, and that a majority of these concussions are caused by foul tip impacts. The research also suggests that sports-related concussion is associated with significant time loss and decreased performance in athletes. It's important to note that these two factors are important considerations for contractual negotiations in the future, so they may have long-term implications for these athletes. To give you a better example of what these impacts look like, I provided some examples of events that occurred in my study. So as you can see, they occur suddenly with no time for the catcher to react. Head impact exposure in the literature is associated with altered microstructural and functional changes in athletes, and that greater exposure to these impacts may lead to increased susceptibility of injury from these head impacts. The research also suggests that these head impacts are associated with the decrease in neuropsychological requirements for athletic performance, and so they may have implications for baseball players as well. So there's several knowledge gaps in the literature that informed the objectives for our study. The first of which is that previous research assumes baseball is a low-contact sport based on the assumption that a lower incidence of concussion relative to sports like football mean that baseball players sustain a lower number of impacts. And there's a couple of issues with this assumption. The first is that it implies there's a similar distribution of impacts among all positions in baseball. Catchers, however, are a unique position because they are subject to all forms of subconcussive impacts that all other positions can be exposed to, such as running to a stadium, other players, head impacts from like hit by pitch. However, catchers are the only position that can be hit by foul tip impacts and impacts from hitters' backswings. Secondly, we don't know if the number of impacts differ among catchers or if they differ by playing time. The research also suggests that there's decreased functioning in the neuropsychological requirements to hit a baseball. So investigating foul tip impacts or investigating batting performance following foul tip impacts may provide important insights into whether these changes are taking place. So the purpose of my research was to investigate foul tip impacts to catchers in the American League East. Specifically, we wanted to establish the incidence of catcher foul tip impacts, determine the relative risk of more than one impact occurring in a game, report the common factors related to foul tip impacts, and determine whether catcher's performance was predicted by the number of foul tip impacts over the previous 7 days. To address these objectives, all defensive innings in the 2017 season were observed, and I excluded the Blue Jays because they had a lower number of observations for the majority of their catchers due to injuries and other factors. Baseball Savant, I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with, was used to obtain all pitch details and batting performance data for these catchers. And after observation, I selected 1/3 of all foul tip impacts to ensure consistency of observations between raters. So our batting performance analysis sought to determine whether the number of foul tip impacts or the speed of these foul tip impacts predicted a decrease in performance. Specifically, we hypothesized that the expected weighted on-base average, slugging percentage, would decrease, whereas the strikeout rate would increase as the number and speed of these impacts increase. So our analysis yielded several important findings. First of which is that there were 17.5 impacts per 10,000 pitches thrown. And to put this into context, this is the number of impacts you could expect to see in the major leagues if every two games if all 30 teams played each other. However, this rate may differ based on playing time. So the catchers who caught less than 8,700 pitches were hit 13 or fewer times, whereas catchers who caught 10,000 pitches or more were hit 20 or more times. And this number really varied for starting catchers. When you compare it to backup catchers, they only sustain about one impact per catcher on average. So although our incidence suggests that catchers are hit once every four games, there's a substantial increase in certain months. Specifically, catchers were hit once every three games in the months of May and September, whereas in the months of June and July, they were hit about one in every five or one in every six games. So this is good. I know I see your reaction. So this may suggest that there's a fatigue factor for hitters. To be put more simply, it's essentially that as the season becomes longer without a break, these hitters miss the ball by greater margins, which may reduce the likelihood of these impacts occurring. So we calculated the relative risk to determine the probability of more than one impact occurring in a game. Specifically, there were 17 games in which more than one impact occurred. So this is more than one impact in one game. And several catchers experienced as many as four games with more than one impact. And on several occasions, they were hit as many as three times on average. By comparison, catchers were more likely to sustain more than one impact in a game than to be medically assessed on field. Our results also demonstrate that foul tip impacts can be categorized by pitch type. 135 of the 172 foul tip impacts were fastballs, and 84% of those were four seams. And so if you have questions about why that is, I can answer that afterwards. Furthermore, our results suggest that fastball foul tip impacts average 94 miles per hour, and over one-third of those reach speeds of 95 miles per hour or greater. It was also of our interest to determine where catchers experience the majority of their impacts. So during the quality check, we looked at the horizontal and vertical impact locations in the mask. For the horizontal region, the majority of impacts occurred to the center and right side of the mask from the pitcher's perspective. And the eyebrow eye region for the vertical locations. However, the majority of these impacts were to the center mass of the mask rather than to the glancing blows, let's say, off the top of the head. Unfortunately, our batting performance analysis did not reveal any significant differences, although there were some individual differences that were noted. This may suggest that some catchers respond differently to the number or speed of the foul tip impacts that they experience. Our study lacked observations to make any statistically valid conclusions about this, but I'll discuss why that is in further detail. So our study, I hope you guys aren't too overwhelmed with information at this point. So over the next couple slides, what I'm going to do is really discuss the importance of our findings and what these results really mean. Our study was the first to quantify the head impacts that catchers experience, and only previously impacts that resulted in concussions were analyzed. So of note, the number of pitches that catchers caught seemed to dictate the number of head impacts that they experienced. So in certain cases, catchers who caught more than 10,000 pitches experienced a substantial increase in the frequency of foul tip impacts, or the number of foul tip impacts. And these athletes typically sustain multiple games with more than one impact. Our incidence of foul tip impacts also aligns with self-report data from previous research, which may suggest that on average, catchers will only sustain about one impact every four games. However, the substantial increase in certain months, or games with more than one impact may shape the perspective or the way that athletes recall the number of times they're hit. For example, these cases represent instances in my study where catchers were hit substantially more foul tip impacts over a relatively short duration of time. And for those of you who are familiar with Mike Matheny, the last case there kind of represents the last games that he played, where he was hit by 6 foul tip impacts over the course of a week, and the last impact of which was 100 miles per hour. So we also want to discuss the relative risk, and we think that in future studies, this risk of being hit by more than one impact in a game would be replicated because it's not, these factors are not specific to any division or league, such as the catcher's setup position, or the type of pitch thrown, or the pitch spin rate of the ball. So prior to the study, it was not known whether foul tip impacts could be characterized by any specific information. However, our results suggest that foul tip impacts typically occur at high rates of speed and from fastballs. So the importance of this is that, as I'm sure many of you can imagine, is that for certain teams or divisions that throw a higher percentage of fastballs or higher than average pitch speeds, there might be an increase of foul tip impacts for those teams. Although we did not quantify the magnitude of impacts that catchers experienced, all the speeds were similar to or faster than those that would have caused concussions in previous research. This might suggest that speed is not the only factor that is important for the onset of concussion. Rather, it might be the cumulative exposure to head impacts in combination with speed and other factors. However, the speed of impacts is important and has particular relevance for the development of catcher's mass standards. Prior to this study, they only used data that was used from those that caused concussion and standards that have been set by the National Operating Committee for Athletic Equipment Standards. Specifically, foul tip impacts that occurred in our study have been shown to damage catcher's masks and impact the face of the catcher. So our study actually had three major implications that will be discussed in greater depth. Specifically, changing the current MLB substitution rule to allow a player to be medically assessed off-field and resubstituted back into the game if they are cleared to play. Suggest objective assessment guidelines to assist medical personnel and adjust the catcher's mask standards for the appropriate level of play. So the most alarming findings from our study was that catchers experience a number of impacts at high speeds, and in some instances, catchers were hit by a substantial increase in foul tip impacts over a short duration of time. We do not know if catchers were assessed off-field between innings. However, it is clear by the few number of assessments on-field that judging the appropriate time to assess an athlete is difficult. Without a system in place to track foul tip impacts, it would be hard for athletic trainers to recall the time between impacts, the speed of impacts that hit them, which catcher was hit, and if any prior impacts justify concern. Tracking and quantifying these head impacts can serve two purposes. The first of which is that the collection of head impacts at a large scale can provide research with head impact exposure data and factors that may be related to concussion. And it would make my job a whole lot easier. I wouldn't have to watch 648 games. and secondly, it could be useful for developing an objectively guided framework for medical assessment decisions, specifically using a risk-weighted framework to judge an appropriate time to play. So this is based on cumulative exposure and the speed of the impact. It may be beneficial for the MLB to consider this objectively guided medical assessment decisions because, as previously mentioned, concussions can result in not only impact the health of the athlete, but it also can impact their performance. And that's specifically to mention that this is a long-term thing. This isn't just seven days or 2 weeks after the impact. Putting this into place might be a possibility with the MLB switching from the TrackMan Doppler radar system to the Hawkeye optic tracking system in 2020. Similar to our reasons for the objectively guided assessment, the speeds, notable increased frequencies, and the number of on-field assessments may warrant concern for the catcher's health. It's important to note that the lack of on-field assessments could be influenced by a multitude of reasons, and none of which is none of which is really the athletic trainer's fault. For instance, they're responsible for treating many athletes, and they might not see the impact, or their line of sight could be obstructed while they're in the dugout. The ability to resubstitute a player back into the game provides two benefits. First, the catcher can be evaluated for the minimum 10-minute assessment of concussions, and it does not penalize the player if they are cleared to play. This may indirectly cause players to be more willing to disclose symptoms and come out of the game if they know they can come back into the game. And support for this idea comes from the Pittsburgh Pirates general manager, who specifically states that the substitution rule that's currently in place does not kind of prevents catchers from erring on the side of caution and reporting symptoms if they think they have sustained a concussion. It's important to note, too, that this statement does not stand alone, as retired catchers like Mike Matheny have commented on this in the past. So the speeds used to evaluate catcher's mass, as previously stated, have been based on standards that have been set by a National Operating Committee and those that have caused concussions. Our results suggest that the speeds that occurred in our study can damage or impact the head of the catcher, which are actually specifically the standards for, let me just remove this. This National Operating Committee for Standards of Athletic Equipment specifically warns athletes from using. Important insights into the onset of injury may come from examining the cumulative exposure leading up to and on the date of the concussion. So our research also generated several important research questions, such as what is the difference between the number and speed of head impacts that catchers who received a concussion sustained compared to those who did not? So by examining the catchers who have who sustained impacts leading up to and on the date of concussion, we might get important insights into why and how these changes occur. Additionally, a more rigorous research design is going to be needed to examine athletes' batting performance following subconcussive impacts because they are very difficult to examine. It's not like a concussion or like a musculoskeletal injury, like a broken bone, where you know you can see this injury. There's very different ways that are different levels of severity that can occur. So in summary, the number of foul tip impacts that occur to catchers seems to be influenced by the number of pitches that they catch. Although catchers experience one foul tip impact every four games on average, the frequency may increase or decrease by as much as 24% depending on the month of the season. Our study demonstrates that foul tip impacts typically occur at high speeds from fastballs, which may provide research with more precise tests of the impacts that MLB catchers sustain. Lastly, the speed of foul tip impacts and the lack of on-field assessments suggest a rule change, and objectively guided medical assessments are important, and they may allow for precautionary care without penalizing the athlete or slowing the pace of play. Thank you. Oh, awesome. So it's a very good question. No, I know, I heard you. So be your question. I believe your question was, are catchers starting to speak up about concussions? Are they worried about these? So interesting. I can't speak based on the results from my study, but from communication with Jason Klein, who's developed these new shock masks, I've noticed that a lot of catchers have started to begin to switch over to these masks that have claimed to reduce the forces exerted on the head. So I think that they know there's an issue there. And I know MLB umpires have specifically commented on their concerns for these foul tip impacts. Yeah. Is it good? All right. I can repeat it after. I wouldn't worry about it. Do you want to come up here and ask? So I can reiterate. So essentially, what you're saying is that this man here represents a lot of athletes, and he's seeing some concerning symptoms from these head impacts long term, such as ADHD-like symptoms of forgetfulness, like an attentive impulsivity, and also I believe you said depression, and yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Sorry, so you can continue. I'll repeat it, don't worry. So are these concussions, or are they just the head impacts? Right. So, yeah. Well, and that's the problem. Sorry, I'll repeat this right now. So essentially, the issue that we're seeing is that players are returning to the game too quickly after they've had head impacts or concussions, and it's a yep. Yeah, so this is a common issue with concussions, and that it's hard to diagnose because they're largely like the way you diagnose is subjective. They're subjective questionnaires, and so it's difficult to determine whether these injuries are taking place. And a lot of the research that's coming out is saying that even after symptom resolution occurs, so like they feel better, their brain is actually still recovering from the head impacts that they sustained. So it's a little different. And it's hard to diagnose and understand, but this is like almost, it's the most we can do right now with the research that we've been provided. Yeah. Sorry. I just asked for one more question. We can talk afterwards if you like. It'd be perfect. Yeah. Sure.
What are the developments in that area?
Okay, so that's a good question. So what what we're finding is that the weight of the mask is more important. So if anyone's familiar with the titanium masks, they're lightweight and they were marketed as being a better performance mask. But they also, they don't minimize the head accelerations that are occurring. So there's limited research on the shock absorbing masks as well, and we need to really figure out the balance between performance and safety for these athletes.
So, and your personal opinion, is one mask better than the other, the traditional catcher's mask or the hockey goaltender type mask?
Okay. So hockey masks reduce, have been shown to reduce the head accelerations the most, but as far as athletes reporting concussions, it's pretty even between catchers who use the traditional style versus the hockey two-piece. And I think it's probably due to the hockey mask being secured around the jaw, so you can still be hit by an impact on the side and it cranks your head, whereas the traditional two-piece would just come off on that one. Do I have time to answer one more? All right. Sorry, you've been throwing your hand up back. Right, so younger athletes are typically, they're at a higher risk for these head impacts, or they, at least the way that they experience these head impacts affect them a little bit greater than adult athletes. But that's research based in football impacts, right? And so the issue is that it's under-researched in baseball, and we don't actually know if these differences occur. Yeah, cool, thank you.